Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And today we are previewing the offseason for the Central Division. What's up, Corey?
What's going on, Nick? It's my favorite division, the Central, and I'm excited to break it down.
Plenty to talk about, plenty of storylines. Before we get started, just a reminder, you can check out all of our offseason division previews on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But let's get started with the Cleveland Cavaliers. 50-32, made it to the finals, got swept by the Warriors. And by the standard of most teams, this would be a great season, but it was just an extremely weird season for the Cavs.
Yeah, roller coaster. You know, we had one team to start the year with Isaiah Thomas being traded in with Jay Crowder, Dwayne Wade being signed, J.R. Smith still there, LeBron James, Kevin Love. It's a different look. And then, you know, fast forward 3 months, the team is up and down. There's one little winning streak in there where LeBron's hitting, you know, step back threes in the Garden, and things are going crazy well. And then Isaiah Thomas comes back from injury in January, and in 15 games, I think it was, it was official that this team was no good. And then they completely, you know, cut all the new pieces out. You know, they trade out Isaiah, Jay Crowder, and they get rid of Wade for next to nothing to bring in Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Larry Nance Jr. And for two games before the All-Star break, it looked pumped. It looked like this could be really fun. And then it went back down. It was literally a roller coaster. And the only way they get to the NBA Finals is if LeBron James is superhuman in the playoffs, which is what he was. You know, he was fantastic. Two game winners, 51 points against the Warriors in that game one of the finals. He was absurd before he broke his hand.
Yeah, it was incredible. LeBron at 33 put on a show, and, you know, for the late in the season in the playoffs, and like you said, they had all these pieces. They traded them away, got some of these new pieces. It looked like it was going to be great. And going into the, you know, after the trade, it was like, all right, Larry Nance Jr. was probably the worst piece that got in the trade. And you could probably argue he's the one who played the best in the postseason, had the biggest impact. And it's just really crazy that LeBron was able to get this team to the finals. At one point, you know, in that first round series against your Pacers, it looked like they might get knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this numerous times, and I'll stick to it. The Pacers in that first-round series were the better team, but the Cavaliers had the best player in LeBron James. If the Pacers close out, I believe, game two, then we're looking at a completely different series. The Pacers might win that. But, again, you know, LeBron James was tremendous in that series.
Yeah, it was really an incredible postseason, and one that almost will probably get forgotten because the Cavs lost in the finals and got swept. People will forget about how great LeBron was, including that game one. What are your thoughts on them losing in the finals and getting swept? Is it a big deal, or it's what we just all expected?
It is what it is. I think people who are trying to make it some kind of shade to LeBron James' legacy, like, you're a damn fool. Why does this have to be about his legacy? The fact of the matter is, if he doesn't get to the NBA Finals, you can make the argument no one probably slanders him. But because for some reason he loses in the NBA Finals, it becomes this whole ordeal. Fact of the matter is, the Warriors are the best team, and the only team that could have beat the Warriors was the Rockets, and the Warriors had to beat them in seven games without Chris Paul being on the floor. The Warriors, no matter who won in the Western Conference, they would have beat this Cavaliers team in no more than five anyways. So it really doesn't matter. To me, it's LeBron James and this Cavaliers team should be looked at for what it was, an incredible feat to get as far as they did. Kind of like that Allen Iverson Sixers team in the early 2000s, just like LeBron James in 2007 when he brought the Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the Spurs in four. You know, you shouldn't be held accountable when you bring a team that is so bad to the farthest stage.
The fact, like you said, I'm on the same page as you. The fact they got there is just incredible. Even just beating Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, it looked like they were going to lose. So I think it was an incredible postseason for LeBron, and people remember the finals loss, but really it wasn't on him. He gave his team a chance to win in game one and set themselves up for success. George Hill missed the free throws, and JR obviously had maybe one of the worst mistakes in the last 5 years in the NBA postseason. But, you know, moving on from the season recap, looking at the cap situation, what are your thoughts on it? It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it's rough because there's a lot of guys on here making a lot of money next year that you would not want to be paying that much. For example, Kevin Love, $24.1 million. That's not bad, but Kevin Love now is, you know, he was pretty much non-existent in the playoffs. He seems to not show up at times. He's always hurt. I mean, always banged up. George Hill at $19 million. That's You know, he's just a roller coaster. I think he had, you know, 20 points in, let's say, game six or game two in the finals, and then he has like 8 points in game three. Just, you never know what you're going to get from him, home or away. Tristan Thompson at 17.4 is brutal. J.R. Smith, he's just washed. I think we can all agree. And how you don't know the score or what's going on in the NBA Finals is ridiculous in the closing seconds. And then everybody else, you know, Rodney Hood, a restricted free agent, Korver, $7.5 million. But I think, you know, you want him just to shoot, so it doesn't really matter for him. But you want to try and package some of these guys if you're going to keep LeBron and bring in some talent.
Yeah, even Jordan Clarkson at 12.5, I wouldn't want to pay him that. I think just a lot of the contracts, like you said, are just honestly horrendous. Like, there's not really another way to describe it. Like, George Hill making $19 million next year is crazy. Like, at the way he's playing, the way he's kind of going, he's nothing more than a backup point guard. He's not a starter, I don't think, anymore in this league with the way he showed in the postseason. It's just – and the whole thing is, if they sign LeBron back, they're going to be way over the tax. And they don't have a ton of assets. They have the number 8 pick, which they could use to get rid of some contracts, but they don't know if LeBron's going to leave. So they can't even really do that because it's a huge risk. And honestly, no one's really interested in taking on these contracts unless there's some type of asset, being a first-round pick or a young player. And the Cavs don't have any of those young players. They have Seti Osman, who's – you know, has some value, but he's not going to be enough to take on a Tristan Thompson contract or a J.R. Smith contract.
Yeah, no, they're really stuck. Their only hope is honestly to move Kevin Love to a degree. He's got the most value. So maybe you can move Kevin Love with a guy like Jordan Clarkson to get a decent chunk of money out. But it doesn't look good, because, you know, does anyone really want a George Hill or a Tristan Thompson? Probably not. Even J.R. Smith at this point. So it's going to be really tough to see any of these guys really move. Like you said, there's no young prospects, and you can't risk trading the number 8 pick at this point in time.
Yeah, the only positive for George Hill's contract is the 2019-20 season. It's not fully guaranteed, and the same thing for J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver, which is like a little bit of a blessing, but still they're all partially guaranteed, and they can still have some type of impact. But you still have to worry about getting rid of them this year. I think maybe the best case would be like if they were able to move the number 8 pick and one of these guys for a young all-star type player, which if LeBron left, they'd still have him and he'd be like decent with Kevin Love. But it's really all banking on LeBron, and they really don't know what LeBron's going to do. So it's put them in a terrible position. And the reason they signed some of these contracts is because of LeBron wanting to keep this team together. So the cap situation is maybe one of the worst in the entire NBA, to be honest. Looking at team needs though, Corey, what does this team need?
I mean, the sad thing is it needs a retool. It needs to be stripped down. It needs a roster overhaul, basically. We're nowhere near being where this Cavaliers team was when they won a title 2 years ago. You know, not even close. And obviously, a lot of the roster is similar with the core pieces of Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith and, you know, Korver. But it's not the same feel in Kevin Love.
But those guys got worse, and that's the problem.
Right, right. And guys got older. You know, I think at one point in time, wasn't this like one of the oldest teams in the league?
It feels old. When you watch them, they feel old out there. You know, even I don't know the number off the top of my head, but just watching the team, looking at some of the guys, you know, J.R. Smith doesn't have the same pop. Kyle Korver doesn't move that well. Kevin Love's never been a great athlete. I think looking at the roster, I think youth and athleticism is a problem. Defensively, you know, a lot of these guys can't play defense, or they're not great versatile defenders. Versatility for this roster is pretty terrible, as well as lack of playmakers. Like, it's LeBron making plays, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's a team built solely around LeBron, but it's built improperly. It doesn't have shooters or enough young shooters or guys who can run the floor. I agree. They really, honestly, what they need is they need a ball handler. They need a point guard. Even though Kyrie isn't a great playmaker, just the fact that Kyrie could take the ball in his hand, you know, 40, 50 times a game and just dribble and get his own shot, that takes the pressure off LeBron James. And on this roster, you just don't have anyone else who can go get a bucket.
Yeah, and we saw this in the postseason. We saw this in the finals. They're literally scared to take LeBron off the floor and give him some rest on the bench because no one can do anything. When you have a guy like a Kyrie, or maybe they moved a guy for like Kemba Walker or something, they could have somebody to get LeBron some rest. But coming back to this roster without a huge change, it's hard to see LeBron doing that.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't see any reason for LeBron to want to come back as of right now. I just
talking
don't see
about it. That. Moving on to these team free agents for the Cavs. Let's talk LeBron first. What do you think is going to happen with this situation? You know, Can he come back? Is he going to come back, or is he just a lock to be gone?
If they can work out a somewhat, I know we're going to talk about this too. It's fine. Everything I feel like goes together. If they find a way to trade George Hill to possibly get a Kemba Walker, and some of they get Kemba Walker, I think it moves the needle. If you can bring in a guy like Kemba and you somehow keep the draft pick, and then you can make a pick, you know, I think it kind of entices LeBron, because then you can, might be able to add some more shooters. Some people might want to come play with LeBron and Kemba Walker and Kevin Love. But I think really, realistically, LeBron's gone. This roster needs to make some serious changes and quickly to be able to show him that they're in any position to contend. So I think he'd rather take his chances playing with like a Laker team with Paul George and possibly Kawhi or the Rockets. You know, I don't think he wants to leave Cleveland, but he ain't staying unless they give him the opportunity in his eyes to stay.
Yeah, and there's really no great situation. I think there's no way without moving the 8 pick to get a number star. Like, you know, you could move Kevin Love, but you're probably going to get more of a lateral move where you're getting a player along the same caliber or two players that are pretty good, but no one great. So I think they're just in a really tough position where they just don't have a lot of moves on the table. They need someone to make a mistake kind of and give them a blessing in a trade, or they really need to nail their number 8 pick and catch a huge break, which – I mean, it could happen, but there's not a great possibility. It's just the Cavs' lack of assets and the terrible contracts really put them in a bad position. And looking at some of the other free agents, restricted free agent Rodney Hood, what do you expect to happen with him, the guy who didn't want to come in the game during the postseason?
I mean, there's a good chance they bring him back. I think he did kind of up his value slightly because he did play well in the NBA Finals. But realistically, I think it's still overall the amount of money he's going to get this summer is going to be probably – $3 to $4 million less than he would have gotten if he didn't play so poorly that stint in Cleveland. But I wouldn't be surprised if they go after him and they sign him, especially if they lose LeBron James. But I think Rodney Hood likely will be gone.
Yeah, I think just that whole chemistry thing and Rodney Hood not being happy about it, I could definitely see him leaving. If LeBron leaves and maybe they reach out to him like, all right, you can have a bigger opportunity in Cleveland now. You know, we need players. We need guys to step up. Maybe you can be that guy. You know, there's a better chance of him coming back. But if LeBron stays, I feel like Rodney Hood is leaving, because he also mentioned like, oh, I don't like standing in the corner watching LeBron play, like all this stuff. Like, no, you had opportunities. It just really didn't work out. So on restricted free agents, not a ton. Jose Calderon and Jeff Green, what are your thoughts on those two?
If Jeff Green wants to come back for like the vet men, then you bring him back. But he can probably get more money elsewhere. He had a decent year playing alongside LeBron James. And then Jose Calderon, you know, that's just that's a team decision. I know that him and LeBron James seem rather close on the team. So if you bring him back, I feel like it's almost, you know, just trying to appeal to LeBron.
Yeah, he's like almost a player's coach. You know what I mean? He's like coaching on the floor, coaching off the bench, interacting with the guys, letting them know what's up. He's a true professional. I don't mind bringing him back for the vet minimum. Just like, he's not a bad guy to have around, long as you don't have to play him. Even when they did play him this year, he was okay. Like defensively, he's still not good, obviously, but he can still shoot a little bit and he knows how to run an offense. And same thing with Jeff Green. Like I'm on you with that. He can come back vet minimum, solid guy. Maybe another team will offer him more money. It's tough to say. Jeff Green's just been this guy his whole career where you're expecting more and you never really get it. And then he'll give you a flash right when you're ready to give up on him. So he's just a really tough player to gauge.
Yeah, he's always been so streaky.
And he's a guy you always like. I remember way back when he was traded to Boston and he had some really nice moments, including like a fadeaway three over LeBron that was a game winner while I was on Miami. And everyone's like, oh, this guy can be so good, like all-star. And he just never really put it all together. But moving on to trades, what are your thoughts on some trades for Cleveland? You know, do they work with a team and get LeBron to sign and trade to somebody else and get some assets back, or are they going to be stingy and reject that?
I think it's very unlikely they do a sign and trade, because I don't even think LeBron would want to do that. I think to a point he would want to stick it to Dan Gilbert, because I still think they don't like each other, or especially on LeBron's side of things. I think they're – Nah, there's no way a sign and trade with LeBron, I think, happens. And otherwise, trades, I know they're probably going to try and get Kemba Walker the best they can. But I think that 8th pick is going to probably be the deal breaker.
Yeah, I think there is a chance for a sign and trade if it's a team that needs him to be signed and traded to. You know, if he wanted to go to Houston, there's no way really for them to sign him outright. It would have to be in some type of move like that where the team needs a sign and trade and the Cavs are getting back, you know, maybe an asset or two. There's been talk about possibly LeBron going to LA and then Lonzo going to Cleveland. I mean, if I'm the Cavs, like, I'm like, all right, if I'm losing LeBron, please help me out and let me get a player. But also on the Cavs side, they really don't want to take much money back because, you know, they're over the cap. They're not super close to the tax line. But if they took on a big contract, which would match LeBron's, they would be really close to the tax line. Unless it benefits Cleveland in some way, you know, long-term and short-term, I don't see them being participating in a sign and trade, but you really never know. And you mentioned, you know, Kemba. I think that's still a real possibility, moving the 8 pick for Kemba. It's like, do you want to take that risk? Is Kemba a guy that you're willing to build around? Because not to mention, Kemba's a free agent, I believe, after this season or the next season. Then you're going to have to pay him because he's well underpaid.
He's making $12 million, and he is a free agent after next year. So he's definitely going to be looking for near the max.
Yeah, and he'll probably get it from somebody. Point guards are a big commodity. He's been a guy who's constantly improving as well. What are your thoughts on moving Kevin Love? You know, if they, let's say, we'll talk about it. If they keep LeBron, do you think they move Love?
I mean, I know LeBron doesn't mind playing with Kevin Love, but at some point you have to understand what Kevin Love is. And I just don't really think he fits with what LeBron needs. You know, at $24.1 million, I feel like you could definitely move him for two smaller pieces that might be better off for the team's overall quality. You know, Kevin Love can give you some offensive punch, but the defense is still – you know, he hasn't played a ton of it, and he seems weaker. To me, since he's dropped the weight, he's just not as strong as he used to be, especially in the post. He relies on the jump shot too much, which I feel like has become more and more inconsistent as he gets more banged up. So I wouldn't be opposed to moving Kevin Love. And who knows, maybe that's a point that LeBron James says, you know, if I come back, I don't want to play with Kevin Love anymore.
Yeah, or maybe they get in some combo trade and they move him in the 8th pick and they come back with some great player, or, you know, a 4 or 5 team trade where they're almost retooling the whole roster. I think, you know, if you put all your assets together, maybe they can make like a splash type move. What are your thoughts on if LeBron leaves? They're definitely moving K-Love?
I don't know if they definitely move Kevin Love. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose LeBron James and then maybe they re-sign Rodney Hood to a slightly bigger deal and they go after – a mid-level guy out there. I don't know who exactly that'd be. Maybe they throw money at one like a Jabari Parker or somebody younger, and they try and do that quickly while keeping their 8th pick. I think that they would more so be a team at the deadline people would be calling. I don't think if they don't re-sign LeBron, they make any trades now. I feel like they would be a team though near the deadline where you may see then like a Kevin Love being traded.
Yeah, I could see a situation where it's like Kevin Love's on the block from the offseason to the trade deadline and they finally pull the plug or something like that and move him at the deadline. I also wouldn't be surprised if they moved him in the offseason. They wanted to jumpstart the rebuild and get a young piece in there. I don't know how much you're going to get for Kevin Love. His contract isn't terrible, but still it's not like he's a big-time commodity. And like you mentioned, he does seem a little bit weaker, and also defensively he's always had issues. So it's not like he's a guy that you can be your best player. And obviously there's probably a question if he can be your second best player on a championship team. But moving on to free agent targets, with the cap strap, depending on LeBron, they'd have the mid-level exception if LeBron leaves. If LeBron comes back, they really don't have anything. So I don't know what's going to happen with in terms of targets, but what are you thinking? You can give me targets that they'll go after if they keep LeBron, and then you can give me targets they go after if they lose LeBron.
I mean, if they keep LeBron, it's going to be any kind of shooter they can find that's on the cheap. So maybe it's just so tough because they don't even have that much money if they bring back LeBron. So you're looking at guys who are going to come back for a discount. Maybe the Bellinelli accepts the vet men to try and win a ring. You know, guys like that who are willing to sacrifice money, perhaps. If they don't sign LeBron James, then I think restricted free agents become a possibility because, you know, depending on what they do with Kevin Love in a trade scenario, they're going to want use. And maybe they go after Jabari Parker, an Aaron Gordon, perhaps, even if they plan on moving Kevin Love. I wouldn't be surprised if they attack those guys. But like we said, as of right now, you know, they're not looking at almost any free agents because of how much money they have on the books.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have enough money to get in the restricted free agent, you know, market, just because they're going to be close. They'll probably have the mid-level exception, which will be around $8 million. And Gordon and Parker are probably going to ask for a lot more unless they're able to move off one of these big contracts or something, which does seem unlikely. The only guy you could see that moving to get some cap relief would be a Kyle Korver, you know, or Osman or something like that. You know, I don't see anybody else really willing to take on J.R. Thompson or Hill without getting a first-round pick. So the Cavs offseason, obviously, it's kind of similar to the Spurs preview we did. It's going to really all depend on, you know, the Spurs are dependent on Kawhi. This is all going to depend on LeBron.
Without a doubt.
Moving on to our next team, Corey's squad, the Indiana Pacers, 48-34. Maybe one of the, honestly, probably the biggest surprise of the NBA season. What were your thoughts on the season your Pacers had, Corey?
Sleepers, underdogs. This dog had a lot of bite in it. They were surprising. They played hard every game right out the gate against the Nets. They started off in a flurry. The team was moving the ball a lot. They picked the pace up a little bit. You and me predicted them to win, I think, just about 32 wins. They were a very good team. Obviously, Victor Oladipo became a star. He's probably going to win Most Improved. And Domas Sabonis, he completely grew up his sophomore season in the league. Darren Collison led the league in three-point percentage, shooting 47% from the field. Bogdanović surprised a lot with his consistent offense. The team really did surprise. And I think it was a team that, on a nightly basis, they could beat almost any team in the league because they played team basketball. And they played for each other. It was really fun to watch. It was a year that the Pacers, like, as a Pacers fan, I haven't felt this kind of atmosphere around a team since the 2013-2014 Pacers that lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the Miami Heat of the LeBron James team. This is the first time in like 3 years we've really felt this kind of like these guys, like, honestly, they love playing together. You can just feel it. It was just a really fun time in Indiana last year.
Yeah, you could tell there was a great team chemistry. And, you know, the overall vibe with the Pacers, in my opinion, was like they were a team that weren't really going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat them and you're going to have to finish them off, because I believe they've had a lot of comebacks this season as well. So
They had eight comebacks on the season. Seven games where they trailed by 15-plus points or more and came back and won. I think they had eight total comebacks, though.
Yeah, very impressive. And like you said, just a team ball. Guys had big seasons. Oladipo, obviously, you know, he came out of nowhere. You know, like, he looked good in OKC at moments, and he had nice moments in Orlando. But I don't think anybody expected him to be an all-star level player, at least this season. And he really, you know, picked up his game to another level and became one of those guys in this league. And like you said, Sabonis was very impressive, especially for stretches when Miles Turner was out. And Bogdanović and Collison kind of found some steadying force where they've had really consistent seasons for the Pacers. It was overall very impressive. And like we talked about in the Cavs preview, they weren't very far away from getting to the second round. You know, a couple shots here and there. Maybe Victor Oladipo doesn't get into foul trouble in game two. You could be talking about the Pacers moving on in the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but I remember the African game last year. Victor Oladipo won MVP. And I actually remember messaging you and like saying, like, if he plays like this trade isn't going to be so bad. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I was joking at the time, because we also mentioned how like they weren't playing like full speed. And that Victor Oladipo, that MVP from that game, is the one that we saw all season. You know, he really did just take his game to, you know, three more notches than we all thought he had.
His energy, his athleticism was just on full display, just the work he put in. And I mean, I'd be pretty excited about it. What would you say would be the only negative? Was it just that Miles Turner didn't take a big jump like everyone expected?
I would probably say between Miles Turner not making a jump, and then Glenn Robinson III being hurt all year, and then coming back late and not being able to really get into any rhythm. Because, you know, losing Paul George, Glenn Robinson was kind of looked at as the guy to, you know, fill his shoe, and he broke his ankle early and didn't get back till, you know, I think late February, early March. And, you know, you just did not have time to get into game speed and be an actual impactful role player. So I think losing him, and then, like you said, Miles Turner, definitely he didn't take the giant jump we all expected. He was in foul trouble far too often, it felt like, and he just hasn't gotten any stronger. He may have put on some more pounds, but he's just not a physical guy down low to get rebounds.
Yeah, and I think some of that will come with age, though. So I'm still pretty high on Miles Turner, and I think he can make the improvements. Also, I believe he had a concussion in game one, and that kind of hurt him and took him out of rhythm. So hopefully he can kind of build off that. I believe off-season pictures have dropped him already working out. But looking at the Pacers' cap situation, it is pretty. You know, it's one of probably the best cap situations in the NBA. They could have up to $47 million in cap space this year. They have some unguaranteed contracts with Bogdanović, Collison, and Jefferson. So what are your thoughts on the Pacers' cap?
Obviously, it's exactly what you want to see when you're looking at your squad. They have a lot of moves to make. They have a lot of cap space to bring in players to better this roster. I know what they're eyeing is the fact that next year they have to pay Miles Turner. And then the offseason after that, they might have to pay Sabonis. So I know those are two things they're keeping their eyes on. We're not going to want to lose probably either one of those guys at this point. And then, of course, you have you know, Thaddeus Young, who's probably going to need to get paid because he's probably going to opt out. But otherwise, you know, if the Pacers want to, and I'm going to say this when we talk about the free agents, I think there's a very good chance the Pacers go out and they snag at least one decently mid-level name out there this offseason.
Yeah, they have the money if they wanted to make a splash move. I know you referenced it in the past, maybe a reunion with Paul George or going after one of the restricted guys. They have a lot of flexibility, and they're also a great trade partner, like I mentioned. Depending on when they make the move, I believe Bogdanovich's contract isn't guaranteed until the 29th of this month, and then Collison isn't guaranteed until the July 1st. So, you know, they could get rid of those guys and open up even more space, or they can kind of stay in the situation they're at, have a little bit of cap space, and then go after a mid-level guy. It really depends on what they're looking to do. And like you kind of mentioned, too, is what their future plans are. Thad Young is also a guy to keep an eye on, like you said, with the player option thing. But what are the biggest needs for your Pacers? What do they need to add this offseason?
They need three-point shooting and one more scorer, just one guy who can go out and get a bucket. This team didn't win a game all year when Victor Oladipo missed time. Every game Victor Oladipo missed, the Pacers lost. And that's because, similar to what the Cavs have, you know, when Victor Oladipo isn't out there at times, no one can get a bucket. The team struggles to get any offense going. Victor Oladipo really is the heart and soul of this team. So they need a guy who can play, make, and get buckets, and they just need more shooters for me.
Yeah, shooting's obviously, I think, almost a need for every team. Everyone wants to kind of improve their shooting. And I agree. I think they could add another – not a huge piece, but they could be due for a big piece. Maybe another star at the point guard position or at the small forward position. I think, obviously, you're looking for someone a little bit more versatile than Bogdanovich, who had a great season, but I wouldn't necessarily expect that again. So maybe a true long-term solution at small forward.
Yeah, I would love to see them get some kind of wing.
Yeah, any type of wing, obviously, another thing that every team's looking for in this league. Look, talking team free agents, though, Trevor Booker, Glenn Robinson III, what are your thoughts on those two?
I think Trevor Booker we're going to see gone unless he wants to come back for the vet men. But I think somebody out there will likely offer him. I did like his time in Indiana. I've actually always been a slight fan of Trevor Booker. I really like the intensity he plays with. But, of course, his game is just rather limited. And then for who else did you say?
Glenn Robinson III.
Glenn Robinson, I think they re-sign him. I don't know how much money he's going to get. Probably not much because he was hurt all of last season. Yeah, maybe they get him on like a one-on-one. I don't know what kind of year he's looking to get or what he's looking for, because honestly, his value isn't very low because he's been hurt. But I would love to give him another chance if he doesn't want that much money, because he's shown glimpses. I know he hit a game winner a couple of years ago against the Hawks. Obviously, he was a dunk champion prior to last season. So I wouldn't mind seeing him back, but if he wants too much money for a guy who hasn't really proved much, I wouldn't want to pay him.
Yeah, I could see a team taking a risk on him because, like you said, being injured last year, he's shown flashes in the past. He was actually a guy I mentioned on the Nets offseason preview on the Brooklyn Buzz, possibly like a cheap guy to go after who might be looking for a one-year deal to kind of prove himself. Talking about the player option with Thad Young, what do you expect to happen in this situation?
I think he's going to opt out. The Pacers would love for him to opt in, but Thaddeus Young at $13.7 million would be a steal. He's really a glue guy. He's high energy. Has all the hustle plays you need from a guy. He's actually become a better three-point shooter the older and the longer he's been with the Pacer. So I think he's likely going to opt out, but I'm sure the Pacers will give him, you know, probably $16 to $17 million a year moving forward.
I think they might be able – one thing that could work out for both parties in this, I think they might be able to get him at a cheaper per year, but just a longer deal. You know, if they were willing to pay him maybe 3 years and pay him like – 3 years, $30 million or something like that. I think you could probably get him for less money per year if you give him that long term money. You know, right. Kind of set him up for the future. I think that'd be something to consider for the Pacers and Thad Young because he seemed to like it in Indiana.
Yeah, I mean they love him. Pacers fans in general, they love guys that play hard, and there's not very many people that play harder than Thaddeus Young. And it's funny because the shoes he filled was David West, and David West was the same way. That power forward position seems to be the position where the Pacers look for guys who are just, you know, high energy, really likable guys.
Now looking at some of the team options, we got Lance Stephenson at 4.3 for this upcoming year and Joseph Young at 1.6. What do you think is going to happen with these two?
Lance Stephenson is back without a question for 4.3 and what he gives you. I think that's fine. They like, obviously they love him. He's been fantastic. His tenure in Indiana, he only played in Indiana for whatever reason. But they love him. I think Joe Young probably comes back. He showed some nice signs, and he's a workaholic. That guy's always in the gym at 4 a.m. I know the team loves him too. He's still young. They probably bring him back just to be that third string point guard.
Yeah, it's a cheap deal. No reason not to, unless there's something they have in mind in the bigger picture. What do you think about trades for the Pacers? Obviously, we talked about the cap space and the flexibility. Could they make some splash trades?
I think it's a possibility. I know they were tied to some Kemba Walker rumors. I think they want to keep Darren Collison, but if they could get somebody slightly better, I wouldn't be surprised if they move Collison. I think Bogdanovich, Collison, Al Jefferson, and you can make the case that maybe even Corey Joseph, all those guys could be expendable. They might even throw a young guy like TJ Leaf if the team wants some kind of rookie talent as well. But I think there's some moves that could be made.
What do you think about, you know, do you think they could add a guy like Kevin Love possibly? If they lost that, let's say hypothetically they lose Thad Young, he signs elsewhere and they need a stretch forward. Do you think that'd be a guy they'd be interested in or no?
I think they would have some interest in him, but I don't know if they would want his contract in the books because him making 24, Oladipo making 21 million, and then you're going to have to pay Miles Turner over 20, likely next offseason. So I don't think they would want to do that.
So you think they'll stay away from big money unless it's the right situation? What about, you know, hypothetically, let's say CJ McCollum becomes available, which has been some talk, or, you know, you mentioned Kemba Walker, Dennis Schroeder. There's even been a possibility of an Otto Porter. Out of those guys, what do you think is the most likely to come to Indiana?
Most likely, I think, would be probably Kemba Walker, only because that team is blowing it up. So you giving them about expiring Bogdanovich and expiring Darren Collison, it might have some interest for the Charlotte Hornets as they go through a rebuild. I think it's possible for the Wizards if they wanted to get rid of Otto Porter Jr. because maybe, you know, you get a bunch of role players from the Pacers. You know, Collison could be a backup point guard they've lacked. Bogdanovich, he's been there before. Or maybe they, you know, mix it up and they don't take him. They take Glenn Robinson if they re-sign him. Or so I don't know, some kind of – or Corey Joseph perhaps. But I think Kemba Walker is the most likely. I think CJ McCollum would be like a dark horse scenario. And Otto Porter Jr. is an interesting one if the Wizards wanted to add some depth and get out of the money.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, they have a lot of flexibility. They could be an interesting team to keep an eye on. Not only if they make a big splash for a player themselves, but they could be a third or fourth team in a big deal. But talking targets, who do you like to see the Pacers go after free agency-wise?
Now, they're not going to go – obviously, I still hold true that the Pacers should meet with Paul George, but that's not going to happen. I would stay away from Aaron Gordon. I think that's too risky. I know that's been somewhat talked about, that Pacers fans think Aaron Gordon would be the next guy because they could be really fun. And I think about it, and yes, they would be really fun, but I just don't see Aaron Gordon being the second or third best player on a championship team. I just don't think his game will get that good, even though I do think he could be a slightly better Blake Griffin, as I mentioned before. I think likely they go after, it's funny enough, my favorite target would be a Marcus Smart. I think Marcus Smart would be a tremendous defensive guy, whether he's a starting point guard or a backup point guard. I think he would be a really nice fit in Indiana and a guy who kind of just adds to the culture they're already building. And I also wouldn't mind them looking at possibly like a Will Barton, you know, a guy who can come off the bench and also give you some points. And even if you wanted to start him at like a small ball three, I think that's a possibility. And again, another guy like Rodney Hood, depending on how much money he's going to demand, I wouldn't mind going after Rodney Hood to fill that three and D position hole that the Pacers have.
Yeah, I really like the Marcus Smart possibility. I think that would be a great defensive backcourt, him and Oladipo. And even though Smart plays point guard, Oladipo could still have the ball a lot because we know Smart doesn't necessarily need the ball and he's not a big offensive guy. So you don't really have to worry about that. Aaron Gordon, obviously, there's been some ties. Jabari Parker would be an interesting guy. They got him on the low. This would be a place I'd look at Trevor Ariza, possibly. I think if they could get him on a solid deal, he'd be a good 3-and-D type player. Tyreek Evans, even, like you said, Rodney Hood, maybe even KCP or Rudy Gay. You know, I think anybody at that small forward position, they have the money, they could get somebody. Even if they lock him up for like 2 years or something, like you mentioned, they want to keep money flexible for Turner and Sabonis moving forward. There's a lot of different options that the Pacers could add.
Yeah, no, I prefer them not to go after Trevor Ariza. I just think he's a little bit too old, and I'd rather go younger than get a vet like him. Even though a veteran present doesn't hurt, I would stick away. He wants like $60 million over 3 to 4 years, and I just wouldn't want to pay that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get that much. I think it's more like 4 or 5 over, 50 or 60 was more reasonable. What are your thoughts on like a Kentavious Caldwell Pope?
You know, because he does play good defense, I wouldn't be against it. But, I don't know. He's so up and down. He's a guy who offensively is just very frustrating. And personally, if I want somebody who's going to be frustrating offensively, I'd rather go with Marcus Smart.
That's fair. I think Smart obviously is going to bring a lot more to the team in general, but it'll also bring a bigger price tag as well. But right. Moving on from the Pacers, anything you want to touch on for agency-wise before we move on next team?
No, I think they're in a good spot, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like I said, I think between – if I had to make a guess, I'd say between Aaron Gordon, Marcus Smart, Will Barton, even an Avery Bradley, and then – a Rodney Hood. I think the Pacers sign one of those 5 guys this offseason.
Yeah, I think there's a real possibility at that. Moving on to the Bucks, 44-34. Honestly, it felt like a disappointing season. They got rid of Jason Kidd. Mike Budenholzer, their new coach. They lost in 7 to Boston in the first round. Giannis looked like one of the best players in the league. What were your thoughts on the season the Bucks had?
Yeah, I mean, disappointing that Jabari Parker wasn't there for most of it. We got to see Giannis Antetokounmpo come out of the gates extremely hot, kept his name in the MVP race basically just off the first 2 months alone. He was outstanding. Chris Middleton was on fire all year in the playoffs. I mean, he was ridiculous. I think he shot over 50% from 3 in that first round series against the Celtics where they lost in 7. It was just disappointing. The team has never seemed to get together. The role, the bench players are kind of odd. They don't seem to have enough shooting. Eric Bledsoe wasn't the ideal fit. He kind of looked out of place at times. It became too much of like, Antetokounmpo, you go, and then Eric Bledsoe, okay, you go. But Jason Kidd's gone, and now they have a new coach coming in, so maybe they can change the culture and get some more ball movement so this team becomes more free-throwing. Because they already have so much length, and defensively you love what you have with all the length, but it's the offense that just goes way too stagnant at times.
Yeah, the roster construction, guys not stepping up, like you mentioned, Bledsoe not having a great season, same thing with Tony Snell. They just need more scoring, and they need to kind of surround Giannis and make his life easier. And I felt like at times in that Boston series, you could just tell it was easy for Boston to kind of single him out and, just make sure they cover Middleton and they're good to go. But talking about the cap situation, what are your thoughts on the Bucks? Obviously, slightly over the cap, most likely. They'll have the MLE. They got some shitty contracts. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think they're kind of stuck where they are. I think they would love to possibly try and trade Dellavedova or John Henson. But I just don't think I don't know how likely that is.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much they really want to bring back Jabari Parker, which is going to be the big question mark. But I think they're kind of stuck where they are.
Yeah, the only way they get rid of, the Henson, the Snell, or the Dellavedova contract is attaching a pick and some type of move. They've been in some talks about possibly moving the draft pick and getting a better player and then dumping one of the salaries, but you never know what's going to happen with that. Moving on from there, team needs. What do the Bucks need to add?
They just need – I don't know what they really need to add. I don't think – if anything, they need – I don't know. They need bench players. They could use slightly better 3-point shooting because, I mean, honestly, they don't have any shooters on this roster, really.
Other than Middleton.
Dellavedova is like your third best, maybe your second best 3-point shooter, which is terrible to think about. Maybe even Jason Terry might be. So shooting, and then I think their depth needs to be slightly retooled. Even though I like Tony Snell, and I think Thon Maker still does have potential, the bench to me is something that also – I mean, Jason Terry plays a lot of minutes for them still.
Yeah, Snell had a really rough season, too. They expected him to kind of take another step, and he just, like, in the postseason at times looked like he was scared to shoot the ball. I think shooting's a big issue. Other than Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, guys just really need to pick up in the three-point shooting department. And like you said, bench help and just anything that can kind of make life easier for Giannis, like I mentioned before. You need to put him in a position to succeed. But looking at team free agents, let's start with the unrestricted guys, Shabazz Muhammad and Jason Terry. What do you think happens with these two?
Yeah, I think they probably bring Jason Terry back just because, for the vet men, why not? He doesn't play terribly. I mean, he doesn't give you pretty much anything defensively, but he's still a vet. I think he's a good voice to have in that locker room. And if he wants to come back, I bring him back. Shabazz Muhammad, I mean, if you can get him for the dirt cheap, which is probably what he's going to get because he just hasn't really impressed. You know, he I think a couple of years ago he finished the season with like 49 total assists on the year. He hasn't passed the ball either. So maybe they bring him back for the cheap, but I think Shabazz can probably live without.
Yeah, I think both guys. I mean, if Terry wants to come back in the cheap, maybe, but in this point in the season, I don't think you can play him. He's getting up there so much in age. But restricted free agency, Jabari Parker, and this is going to be the big decision for them. Do they want to pay him big money? Do they want to keep him around? Obviously, there's been some tension there. What are your thoughts on Parker and the Bucks moving forward?
I mean, personally, I think you have to keep him. I think the Bucks are – I think if they can reach what they – their possible highest ceiling, it's with Jabari Parker. I think Middleton, Parker, and Antetokounmpo can be a big three with Bledsoe in there as well. I think those guys could be really good and really special. The fact of the matter is they just haven't been able to stay healthy and they haven't had a full year to even get any chemistry going. You know, not last year, but the year before, you know, Parker and Antetokounmpo were a fast break, you know, steamboat. They just rolled through guys. And then the minute Middleton got back, Parker got hurt. And we just really haven't seen these guys play. And last year, coming back late, I just don't think Jabari Parker really was in game speed. He just looked off. Obviously, two ACL injuries in the same knee. It has some kind of impact. I'm sure you don't come back as quick the second time as you did the first time. But I think if he can be healthy, and, you know, I think that team can be really special with those three guys.
Yeah, I see. I'm on the opposite end. I think I would let go of Jabari Parker at this point. I don't think someone's going to overpay him, and then you're going to have to match that offer sheet, and then you take the chance of him getting another ACL injury, and then he comes back, and now you have all this money locked up with somebody like a Chandler Parsons situation, and now you're cap strapped, and then it comes 2021-22. Giannis hasn't won jack in Milwaukee, and now he wants to leave. I think this move, if you sign Jabari, you have to have 100% faith in him that he's going to come back better than ever and he's going to add to his three-point shot, because if he doesn't add to his shooting, I think it's like a weird, you know, usually in most situations in the NBA, you want to have four guys that can shoot and one guy that can't shoot, that's fine. But if you have two guys that can't shoot, and it's going to make easier to defend Giannis. So I personally would probably go away from Jabari unless I had like a move where I could get rid of some other cap. But I think Jabari just sets you up to have your cap strapped and kind of prevents you from making other big moves. And a guy that you really don't know what's going to happen with him, because like you mentioned, the ACL injuries are scary. And then he has come back and looked really explosive, but could it happen again? I think so. I don't wish it to happen or anything, but there's just really huge risk. Like, let's say someone's going to offer him a big deal, like we talked about in some of the other shows, like a team like Sacramento, a team like Atlanta, like they might throw big money because they can afford to take the risk because they don't have anything to worry about. But if you're the Bucks and like, Giannis let's just say he gets knocked out of the first round or the second round and his team doesn't look like it's ever championship contender. It comes 2021, you know, he might be like, all right, Milwaukee, I appreciate everything you did for me, but you guys have not given me a team to win in the last 5 years I've been here.
It's a real possibility.
I think the injury just scares me so much with Jabari. And also like the tension, I don't know how much of that is Jason Kidd and Jabari or the Bucks organization. So that'd be another thing to consider as well.
I even had on Flux's Hoops, we did the Bucks recap recently, and I had Alex Juno on, a guy who covers the Bucks, and he said that there's been rumblings even that possibly Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't even like playing with Jabari Parker.
So if that's the case, I say bye-bye.
Right. I mean, if that's being said, then yeah, I think you don't even care if Jabari Parker at this point, because like you said, if he already doesn't like playing with them, you don't want to keep him around and possibly not even win with them. Because then you're hurting your chances of retaining Antetokounmpo long term.
And like I said, I think someone's going to offer him big money that he probably doesn't, not to say he doesn't deserve it, but it's a huge risk to sign a guy like that. Talking trades though, not a ton of assets on the table. What do you see for the Bucks? Mostly salary dumps, or could they make a move, maybe pick up? There's been some rumors about a Kyle Korver or a Damari Carroll.
I mean, I would like a Damari Carroll. I think he'd be a really good fit. But again, you know, I don't know if anyone really wants Dellavedova, if anyone wants Tony Snell, you know, a John Henson. You're really going to have to try and move some of these guys who just haven't been living up to their contract expectations. The one good thing is that John Henson's contract does get cheaper. Next year it goes down to 9.7 when it's at 10.5 this year. But I don't know. There's not a lot of trades they can be had unless they – you know, maybe they go crazy and they end up trading like a Middleton, or maybe they flip Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, I think maybe Bledsoe because he's an expiring. I mean, The Amari Carroll trade, I would have maybe had a little bit more confidence in, but since the Nets just got rid of Mozgov and they have so much cap space next year, they wouldn't be willing to take on a Delvin Dover or Henson that goes into next year's cap space. If they had any better expirings, obviously they have Eric Bledsoe, but they like to keep him. Kyle Korver would be an interesting piece because maybe they could convince them by, you know, throwing in a young piece they have on the roster. I don't know if it's like a DJ Wilson or someone like that, where they're like, all right, you know, Cleveland, give us Kyle Korver. We'll send you over a bad contract and a nice young piece or maybe a future pick. And that, you know, Korver would be a nice fit because he's a Budenholzer guy, kind of help him implement his system.
Yeah, I don't think that's a terrible idea.
So I think that's what they really need to do is they just need to try to move a contract if they can. It depends on if they want to keep their first round pick as well. I believe they pick at number 17.
Yeah.
So it's a good pick and they could probably dump a big contract on that, but it's like, at what price do you need to add youth and young talent? Cause you could still get a solid player at number 17 as well. Maybe they package it with somebody and make a bigger move, but it doesn't seem like a ton of trades on the table. Moving on, the free agent targets, you know, if they retain Jabari Parker, there's a good chance they don't have much space at all. They could work it out where they kind of use their mid-level exception and then sign them to the offer sheet, but there's a good chance they'd be in the luxury tax, and I'm not sure if they'd like to do that. What would be some free agent targets for them?
It's tough. So maybe they go after a Doug McDermott. Maybe they go after a Jamal Crawford. Maybe they go after a Wayne Ellington if they could get him a little bit cheaper. But, again, we've seen this issue before. There's not a ton of guys they're probably going to get on the cheap. Or maybe they can get lucky because I think Milwaukee has a possibility of being an enticing place to go, especially with Mike Budenholzer there now. I feel like it's a better destination, especially when you have Antetokounmpo there. So maybe even like a Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, and that's another guy that Budenholzer adds coach, and Ersan Ilyasova, who's already played there. You mentioned McDermott. Seth Curry would be an idea. Joe Harris. You know, Avery Bradley wouldn't be a bad fit either. He'd be another solid vet to have around that can shoot and play defense. I think that's what you're looking for, like we mentioned, just a supporting cast for Giannis. But moving on from the Bucks onto the Pistons, another team that had a disappointing season, 39-43, no playoffs, made the huge trade for Blake Griffin. It didn't really work out. Stan Van Gundy is out, and now Dwayne Casey is in.
A wild 6 months for Detroit, and they haven't really gone anywhere in the standings, at least. Obviously, the season's over now, but they made the move for Blake Griffin in hopes to become a powerhouse in the East, and they didn't go anywhere besides remaining in neutral. Obviously, Stan Van Gundy's out. You bring in Dwayne Casey. I like the Dwayne Casey hiring. You know, maybe he can just change things up a little bit. He has been winning in Toronto. He came off his best year in Toronto. He's likely to win Coach of the Year even still after being fired, which is the first time I've ever seen anything like that happen. But the Pistons are in a rough shape. You know, Reggie Jackson is always hurt. He can never stay on the court, and you're always playing with, you know, Ish Smith and backup point guard. So Andre Drummond and now Blake Griffin didn't really have a steady point guard play. It's a weird time in Detroit. The roster is all uneven, and now you got a new guy who's probably going to try and mix things up.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation. Just pairing Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond necessarily didn't make a ton of sense in the beginning anyways, because, you know, Blake's improved as a shooter, but he's not a lockdown shooter. We know Drummond's range doesn't go much farther than the paint. So I think that's an issue. And like you mentioned, Reggie Jackson with the tendonitis and just the overall roster, there's just not a ton of, you know, great pieces. There's no real veteran wing on this team. And it's a tough situation for the Pistons. Hopefully Casey can kind of turn around, but looking at the cap situation, they're already over the cap substantially. They're at $111 million just on guaranteed contracts, and then they have some unguaranteed to some guys that they'll definitely keep too. So the cap situation isn't pretty. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah. They've made some interesting moves over the last couple of years. You know, Reggie Jackson making next year $17 million. Blake Griffin, $32 million. I mean, Blake Griffin making possibly $38 million in 2021, 2022 is terrible. Andre Drummond at $25 million next year. John Luer at $10 million. You just can't add anybody else because you have so much money tied into three guys. And, you know, having that much
over money. Over $70 million to Blake, Andre, and Reggie just right off the top with some easy math.
Yeah, I mean, 57 basically for just between Griffin and Drummond. And can you And can a team win a championship with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond as your one and two best players? No, not in this world, not in this NBA. So the Pistons, you know, you're going to have to probably trade Griffin or Drummond. I mean, maybe you don't, but maybe you just hope that Reggie Jackson can stay healthy. But unless you free up one of those contracts, this roster is almost doomed.
Yeah, no one's going to take on the Blake Griffin contract. Yeah, it was amazing that Detroit did in the first place, especially considering his injury history. So, I mean, you could possibly move Drummond, but he's actually, you know, he might be better than Blake at this point in terms of just overall durability, where he's going to play a little bit more. He's going to get better, where I don't know if you can expect Blake to be a better player. And Reggie Jackson's a toss-up because you don't know what's going to happen with his tendonitis. And you mentioned that John Lear's contract, not great. And then a terrible contract, Langston Galloway, making $7 million this year, $7.3 next year for a guy that they don't even really play. So, and they're still paying Josh Smith right now, which is terrible. So their books are all screwed up and there's not really a ton of options for them. And not to mention, they traded their first round pick to the Clippers and they didn't even make the playoffs. So the Clippers got an extra lottery pick. So they're picking 12 and 13. It's not pretty. And I don't really see like a ton of options because obviously you'd really need to attach a young piece to move one of these contracts. Maybe you can convince somebody to take on Stanley Johnson and like Langston Galloway to get rid of his contract, but then you're losing one of your nice young pieces moving forward. I think if the Pistons are going to improve, they're going to need internal development. It's going to have to be Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard taking their game to the next level, Reggie Bullock, you know, and Reggie Jackson staying healthy.
But I mean, I would be okay with trading Stanley Johnson because I don't know if he's going to develop. So if anyone still is high on him, I might be willing to sell on him.
I'd take a flyer on him for sure. I think that he has plenty of potential. I think Detroit just hasn't really gotten out of him. Some of that's on him. His rookie season was great. Sophomore, not as much. I think there's still, you know, time for Stanley Johnson to be better, but that's for another pod. Team needs.
They need shooting and they need playmakers. You know, last season, because Reggie Jackson was hurt, Ish Smith was their best. And I know Blake Griffin does play make a little bit, but you need a guard. You need a guard who can play make, and you need shooters. And this team desperately could use some shooters.
Yeah, I think they, you know what they really need is just shooters in the front court, because I think Luke Kennard, Reggie Bullock, both guys shot high percentages. But other than that, like, you know, the point guard position, Reggie Jackson's not a great shooter. And then in the center and power forward position, Anthony Tolliver is a free agent. So Blake and Andre, you need guys to spread the floor in your starting lineup. They need starters that can shoot. And that's the problem, is like they might have some roller bench guys, but they don't have the starters that can really play. I think consistency is an issue for them, as well as health. We mentioned Blake. We mentioned Reggie Jackson, two guys that need to stay healthy. But team free agents, I already mentioned one, Anthony Tolliver, James Ennis, and Jameer Nelson. What do you think is going to happen with these guys?
I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back James Ennis. I think he can be solid for them. And I think if you really want to, you can bring back Tolliver if he comes back for cheap. Jameer Nelson, I let him go. He's a little bit too old for me.
Yeah, I think honestly, you might keep Jameer Nelson though on a veteran minimum. You can't get anybody else because he's like a solid guard to just have around if Jackson goes down. But Tolliver's a guy I think they'd like to keep, but I don't know if they'll get more money. And Ennis, on the other hand, you know, he's hit or miss. He's like a guy, they might be able to retain him, or somebody might be really interested. So the free agents are more so a toss-up, where I think Tolliver's the one guy they'd like to keep around.
I can see that.
Trade-wise, what do you think? Is there really any trades on the table, do you see? Or what do you think, Pistons in the trade world?
I don't think they have anything. They're even one of the teams that, like, if you look for, like, trade rumors, they don't even have any really going on or swirling. No one's going to want to take a risk on Reggie Jackson as of right now, and then no one really is interested in the big money that Drummond and Griffin's making. And obviously no one's going to want Langston Galloway. I think the Pistons are kind of just stuck where they are trade-wise, unless somehow they want to package like a Luke Kennard or one of those younger guys, but I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, the Pistons are kind of stuck in no man's land because they can make a trade, but they have to give up a young asset, and no one's going to really take on any of their big contracts for free. Targets, you know, is there any targets that you have in mind? Obviously, most of them are probably going to be veteran minimum type guys, or, you know, maybe mid-level exception, but this team doesn't want to get too high over the cap anyways. They don't want to get in the tax zone because they're definitely not going to be competing for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not that many guys. You know, maybe you can get like a Jeff Green if you miss out on Tolliver. Maybe you can get a Doug McDermott on the cheap, some 3-point shooting at the wing. You know, maybe a guy like Joe Harris, not Joe Harris, Joe Johnson. He's a little bit older, but your options are few and far between with this much money tied in.
Yeah, I would look at some of the vets, maybe like a Devin Harris, an Aaron Aflalo, a Jamal Crawford type. Like we said, not a ton of money, maybe some of the cheaper guys in the free agency market. But it's going to be a tough offseason for the Pistons. Moving to the Chicago Bulls, 27-55. Solid rebuilding season, honestly. They had that nice first half, and then in the second half, they went in tank mode. Laurie Marketing didn't look great, and you know, Chris Dunn showed some nice flashes. Overall, I mean, I would be happy if I was a Bulls fan.
Yeah, no, this is a good year for Chicago. Obviously, the first year of the rebuild, I think it went perfectly for what they were looking to do. Chris Dunn really impressed this year opposed to last year in Minnesota. Laurie Markkanen showed that, you know, I'm happy to say that I was one guy who was really high in him before last year's draft. I compared him to like a little bit between Dirk and Kristaps Porzingis, and I think he fit right into that little stretch four mold. So he was good. I think it was Zach LaVine came back. He was extremely well. I think this team is in a good position where they are. And like you said, you know, they tanked a little bit, and they got some really nice young talent, and they have the 7th pick in the draft.
Yeah, they're in a good position to succeed, and they have a nice cap situation too. They could have up to $41 million in cap space, you know, projected around somewhere around $26 million. And they don't have a ton of bad contracts. Omar Asik, who they got in the Mirotić trade, which helped them get another first-round pick, and then Felicio. Other than that, you know, all their contracts are pretty spot on. Robin Lopez is expiring, but you don't even mind having him around. Great professional, great center. So I think the cap books look pretty nice for Chicago as well.
Yeah, and Felicio's contract, he goes up next year to $8.4 million, but then every year after that, it drops to $8.1 and then $7.5. So you don't hate that contract either for a young guy to be paying him less the older he gets.
Yeah, and he could be getting better. You know, he's not a terrible guy either, so I don't mind having him around. I mean, and their books are pretty empty after 2019, 2020, so the Bulls are in a really nice position moving forward, and we could see them in a couple years in with a solid team that could be contending if they, you know, put their cards together.
Yeah, I mean, they've made trading away Jimmy Butler look really good really quick.
Yeah, the marketing, you know, nailing that pick spot on, I think, was big, and then getting the most out of Chris Dunn is just like they look like they know have an idea what they're doing after having a couple of years of just terrible front office decisions, like the year before where they signed Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade. You know, things just didn't really make sense, where now they're starting to put it together a little bit more.
Yeah.
Looking at team needs, what do you think they need to add?
I wouldn't mind them finding a big time center, which I think they might address in the draft. But they need a center, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking for a wing. You know, Justin Holiday has been really good, especially at the 3-point line. But you're still looking for a wing on this team. I think Denzel Valentine's ceiling is kind of a six man.
Yeah, he's a role. I think what you're like you said, you're looking for a starting small forward, probably. You know, if you want to go with Zach LaVine, who we'll talk about in a little bit, as your starting two guard. I think Holiday and Valentine are two guys that look like, you know, NBA career role players, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I think just young talent. You want to get some young talent on here, maybe take a flyer on a couple of young guys, or you want to take a big swing in restricted free agency. But looking at the Bulls free agents, restricted free agents, Zach LaVine, Noah Vonleh, David Nwaba, what are your thoughts on these three?
I'll start with the easy ones. Nwaba, if you want to bring Nwaba back, I do. I actually love his game.
He's just a hustler.
Yeah, he plays with high energy. He plays really good defense. He's handsy. So if you want to bring him back, which I don't think he'll be too expensive, then I wouldn't mind bringing him back. You know, like $3 to $4 million would be the max I would go for him. Because he is still young. He's like 23 or 24. Vonleh, I wouldn't mind taking a chance on him, but he might still be a little bit too much. He might get paid a little bit too much for my likings, and I wouldn't be terribly afraid to let him go because you still have – Bobby Portis and Laurie Markkanen. So you do have other guys who can play that power forward position. And then, you know, Zach LaVine, you pay him whatever he needs to be paid. You don't let him go. Even when he came back, he still had the balance and the flash. And I think he could be, I think actually he's going to be better than Andrew Wiggins. I think his ceiling's a lot bigger right now.
Yeah, it could. He definitely could be. He has a better understanding of what he needs to do. And obviously his development of the 3-point shot, especially off the pull up. And he showed some nice good flashes last year coming back from injury. A little bit inconsistent, but that happens with injury. I would definitely, like you said, keep LaVine at all costs, most likely. Noah Vonleh, I don't think he's really shown a ton. Like, I wouldn't be big on bringing him back. I don't know if anyone's going to really have a ton of interest in him. And David Nwaba, like you said, at the right deal, definitely bring him back. He's the type of guy you like to have set the culture in an organization like this. Talking trades, what do you think for the Bulls? Maybe taking on a salary dump to get another first-round pick or what?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of the teams that, I mean, who knows? They could be a dump spot for like a Ryan Anderson possibly. I don't think it's likely, but it's a possibility maybe in some kind of
Washington has a lot of dumps that they need to get rid of.
Yeah, so maybe even a place like Washington. That's the one thing about the Bulls that Lee said. It's kind of when you have this much cash because you can afford to. You know, we saw the trade happen outside of this division with the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets and Dwight Howard, and that's just moving big salaries. One going to be expiring and one not going to be expiring, Mozgov's deal. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls looked kind of like they did with Omer Sheik and they bring in some kind of just, you know, a contract no one else wants as just like a third party maybe even in the trade.
Exactly. No, I love them as a third or fourth party in a trade, just taking a contract, grabbing a first round pick, setting yourself up for another asset moving forward.
And I don't know how, and I don't know if I would like this necessarily, but, you know, maybe they're a third party where they get Luol Deng just for the fact Luol Deng plays or is there, and maybe they stretch him or they, they keep and he retires a Bull for some, because he played so many years there, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, he had the best moments of his career with Chicago.
Right.
So I think that would be an interesting thing as well. And like I said, you know, if they get a first-round pick, there's not really much reason not to. They don't have to worry about their contracts that much. You know, there's not a ton of guys where Kristaps and Margaret are locked up for a good time, and Levine's going to get his money this year, and they're still well under the cap. So plenty of options for the Bulls that'd be a part of a trade. Free agent target, who do you think they're going to go after?
I think without a doubt, Zach LaVine. And then, you know, look at them to at least, poke around at some other restricted free agents. You know, maybe they gauge the value of a Jabari Parker. Maybe they gauge the value of a Marcus Smart even possibly. I don't know how likely that would be, but a Rodney Hood for a small forward. I think they're going to look at some of the restricted free agents. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at maybe a Kyle Anderson even. I just think they're going to be looking at youth. You're not going to want to go for anybody that's older, so you're going to be looking at these younger guys that are out there.
Yeah, I think, like you said, restricted free agency, Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker, I believe, is from Chicago, so that would be an interesting one. Julius Randle would be a nice fit next to Lauri Markkanen. Derek Favors is another guy. They missed out some of the other centers. And if they don't draft a center in the draft, maybe throw money at Clint Capella. You know, that's a nice piece to put with Market in your front court would be set. Even somebody like a KCP, non-restricted free agent, but I think just young guys that are solid, you know, moving forward that can get better.
Yeah, for sure.
But that wraps it up for the Bulls. That wraps it up for the Central Division. As always, thank you, Corey. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can check out all of our off-season previews on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGBasketball.com, and Google Play. Also, check out the OTG Podcast Network. Corey has Flex as Hoops. He's been doing off-season previews on there. I'm on the Brooklyn Buzz. We got a couple other great pods. We just added the Rookie Report for all draft stuff. So check it out.
The network is booming.